Does anyone remember what last week was about? It's always a worry when you do that. Oh. White flag. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Are we surrendered or are we committed Christians? And if you've got God desires a surrendered Christian, not one that commits to something that quite often we can't provide. So that was last week, surrender, not commitment, denying ourselves and taking up our cross. And this wire is going to really annoy me. As you can hear, I sound just a little bit like Barry White, so I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. Chris and Mick are not here, so in weakness, bear with me, please. Commitment versus surrender. This is what we looked at last week, very, very quickly. Commitment is something we do. I commit to praying every day. Oops, I failed. Surrender is something that we give. We give over everything we are. Commitment is we choose how much and when we do it. Surrender can only be complete. You can't say, I surrender, but not this bit. You can only fully and completely surrender. Commitment, we're still in control. We can commit to something and then take it back if it's a little bit hard. Whereas surrender, we give total control. Who likes giving total control to someone else? It's not a nice feeling, but it's what we're called for. It's what we're called to do. Commitment always brings failure. I will pray every day. I will read my Bible every day. Brings failure. Surrender brings freedom because you put the control into someone else's hands. And finally, commitment, the emphasis on us, whereas surrender, the emphasis is on someone else. If we surrender as Christians, the emphasis becomes on God. So in a very similar idea, surrender, not commitment, we're going to be looking at obedience and not sacrifice. Who's read the Old Testament? Hands up. Not very many hands. I can understand it. It's a difficult part of the Bible to read. There is so much on sacrifice in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you see a sacrifice for sin, a sacrifice for thanksgiving, a guilt offering, a burnt offering, a peace offering, a grain offering, and a wave offering. And if that's not enough offerings, you can do voluntary offerings. They all have sacrifice. But we know as Christians that that's not the case anymore. We know that Jesus has been our ultimate sacrifice. So we don't do sacrifices, do we? Or do we? Do we sacrifice just a little bit? Do we give back to God to pay back what he's done for us? Many Christians still live a sacrificial religion rather than obedience to God. And we're going to be looking at some sacrificial religion. They're a bit tongue-in-cheek, but hopefully you'll spot yourself in one of these. And when I come to it, I'll show you the one that I fall into, or very much used to fall into. Obedience. What is your motivation? So let's look at some different types of religion that many Christians fall into. Brownie point religions. What on earth is that? Doing something good to win God's favour. How many of us have been to a prayer meeting because we think we ought to? Or read your Bible because you know you should? rather than because you want to. If I do this, God will love me more. On the surface, that's obviously silly. And nobody here would ever fall into that. Or do we? Look at how good I am. See what I've done. Brownie points. Doing good to win God's favour. Who were the people that used to do that in the Bible? The Pharisees. They were brilliant at it. They were excellent at the Bible, or what they had of the scriptures. They used to carry it around with them. They used to know the scriptures inside out and back to front. They used to teach how to do religion. They knew the laws. They added different laws. They were brilliant. They just didn't do it. They didn't do what they preached. They were wonderful on the outside. Matthew 23 calls them whitewashed tombs, beautifully painted, but on the inside full of dead people. Or a cup or a bowl that's cleaned on the outside. If you're washing a cup, you clean the inside, don't you? You don't clean the outside. Good on the outside. Doing something for the wrong reason. Showing how wonderful you are by your actions. Now I can look around and see how wonderful all of you are. And all you're doing is sitting. It's not by your actions that we're wonderful. It's what's in our heart. Visible religion. Praying wonderful prayers. The number of times I've heard people say, I don't pray out loud because other people are better prayers. What does that mean? Better prayers. God wants our hearts. God wants us to just talk with him as a friend, as a father, as a brother. When you pray, Matthew 6, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Two verses beforehand, he was talking about when you give money, don't bring out a big wadge of money and making sure everyone sees as you drop it in. But don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. Do something in secret for God. Then it's nothing about what other people think. It's about what God thinks of your brownie points. It's not about earning brownie points. But so many Christians fall into that. One description of service, which I thought was wonderful. When we serve God, we are not giving something to him. He is giving something to us. That's what service should be. Service to God. We are not giving anything to God, as if we could give to God. But he's giving something to us. It's a joy and an honor to be able to serve God. But it's so easy to fall into this brownie point religion. The next type of religion that so many people can fall into is an I'll make it up to you religion. I am going to shock some of you now. Please don't cry, don't shout heresy, don't run out the door. But one of my pet hates, and I absolutely hate it with a passion, is daily Bible readings. How many people are doing daily Bible readings? Don't be worried. I hate them with a passion because if you miss one, you've got to catch up. Oh, I'll do two tomorrow. Or I've got 10 minutes now, I'll squeeze one in. Does God want a religion where we squeeze him in to a time? Daily Bible reading notes for people who are doing them are wonderful. Do not fear. I'm not condemning daily Bible reading notes, but I am condemning the religion of having to do it on the right day, of having to squeeze God in because you had a hectic day and you forgot to do your daily Bible reading notes. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to know that we must do something because a book that a man wrote tells us that we have to. It's about obedience, not about another religion that we add on to our own. Bible reading notes are wonderful until they become a religion. I'll make it up to you. I'll pay back to God. As if anyone could pay back to God. I was brought up a Roman Catholic. For the first 13 years of my life, I was brought up a Roman Catholic. And I used to go to this shed in a building, and there was this man behind a screen that I used to have to talk to, and I had to tell him my problems. I had to tell him all the things that I did wrong. Now, I wasn't too bad as a 13-year-old Christian. I was normally a three Hail Marys man. That was as far as I got. Sometimes it was only two if I was really good, but never more than three. These people that had to do six or seven, I dread to think what they were doing. But you had to pay back. When you did something wrong, you had to give back to God so that he was no longer angry with you. Do we fall into that now? Do we fall into a different type of paying back because we're not Roman Catholics, we're Baptists, where sinning equals reading the Bible? Oh, I've done it again, Lord. I'll tell you what, I'll read the Bible an extra four chapters today. Or I'll pray just that little bit longer because I know I sinned. I know I've done something wrong. This may sound a little bit silly, but if you think about it, are you someone that needs to pay back when you've done something wrong? And is that what the Bible demands of us? Colossians puts it this way, which I think is wonderful. When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He took it away, nailing it to a cross. Are we people that need to pay back when we've done something wrong? Because if you are, that means that Jesus being nailed on a cross wasn't quite enough. He needs a little bit more help from you. That's not what the Bible says. I will say again, because I saw the faces of horror when I said it, Bible reading notes are wonderful. But just don't get into a religion of having to catch up. The next type of spiritual religion which I have seen personally, and it nearly ripped me away from Christianity, was merit badge religion. When I was a new Christian, I went to another church. I'm not going to tell you what church it was because it's a church most of you would know. But one of the people, when I was there, I was growing in with different people. One of the people said, "Can you speak in tongues yet?" And I said, "No." And he went, "Oh, so you're not a real Christian then." And he turned around and started talking to his friend. Not a real Christian, because I hadn't got the tick box that said I can speak in tongues. Can I speak in tongues? Yes. Prophecy? Yeah, got that badge. Become a deacon? Yes. Not quite Pope, but that's my next one. That's where I want to go next, because that's the next step up in the merit badge religion. It's wrong. It's wrong, but it's so easy to fall into it. If you can't speak in tongues, it's not a tick box that you haven't quite got yet. It's not something you need to be worried about. It's something God needs to do for you when it's right, when he decides. Many Christians feel superficially God will give as we give sacrificially. The gifts of the Spirit become merit badges that puts you above other people. Have you got tongues? I have.
I'm better than you. Oh, but he does prophecy. I don't do that yet. That's not right. God desires our obedience, not merit badges. Matthew 20:20 puts it this way. Matthew 20:20 is the mother of James and John. Mothers, oh, aren't they lovely? They always want the best for their sons. But what did the mother of James and John want? Can one of my sons sit on your right and the other sit on your left when you come in glory? Talk about wanting a merit badge, sitting next to the Lord in heaven. She wanted the best, but she got it wrong. Romans 11 puts it this way. Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? What could we give God that he hasn't already got? For from him and through him and for him are all things. God will give as he sees fit. We do not earn merit badges as Christians. Our sacrifice will not earn us honour from God. God doesn't owe us anything. He's already paid it. And the last part, the last religion. I said at the start, do any of these ring true in your mind? Well, this is mine. Or at least this was mine when I first became a Christian. What can I get out of it? When I became a Christian, I felt I was a reasonably nice person. And I thought, if I'm a nice person and these Christians are right and I don't become a Christian, I'm still going to hell. So I'll become a Christian so that I'll hedge my bets. If I'm nice and I'm a Christian, I'm going to go to heaven. If I'm nice and when I die there's no God, I haven't lost anything. That was my genuine reason for starting to go to church. I was hedging my bets. If there is a God, at least this way, I'm going to heaven. Do we hedge our bets? What can I get out of it? I went even further when I was still a young Christian and someone challenged me about not giving money into the offering boxes. And I said, oh no, churches are only out for your money. Genuine. I was a Christian maybe 6 months and that's what I thought. And he showed me a passage in Malachi that says, if you give your tithe, God will bless you with more. I started giving. What can I get out of it? These were genuinely what I did. It was, what can I get out of it? If you do this, God, will you do this for me? If I do this for you, will you do this for me? That's a really easy one to pray for. That's a really easy one to fall into. We pray for something and immediately believe that God will give it. We pray for something and because the Bible says you will receive, we believe we're going to get it. Joyce Meyer loves this argument and she calls it the fur coat blessing. Can I please have a fur coat? Well, not me personally. Can I please have a Ferrari? Not going to happen. Joyce Meyer goes on to say that if that's your type of attitude where you pray for something hoping you're going to get it, quite often that will prevent you getting the blessing that God has for you. I always love when Bible verses are taken out of context. And I'm sure you know some, like money is the root of all evil. Nowhere does it say that in the Bible. This is one that's taken out of context a lot. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Wonderful. There should be more verses like that in the Bible. We will live with them. The problem with that is there's a verse before that that says, and I will do everything you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Me having a Ferrari will not bless the Father. It's not about what I can get out of it. It goes even further than that. In the verse before, truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. See, you can't just become a Christian and expect a Ferrari. You need to do the works he's been doing. And what you ask for will bring glory to God. And then the verse after that is even more scary. If you love me, you keep my commands. It puts that small section that everyone takes out of context into a bit more context, doesn't it? And it does not say, if you ask, you will receive anything. Unless you put it into context. We don't live in a what can I get out of it religion. This brings us to what we should live for. And that is obedience. Obedience only starts when we fully surrender to God. We spoke about that last week. When we fully give over our control, our rights, our attitudes, our thoughts, our desires, our passions to God. When we surrender and become obedient to God. How can we be obedient to God if we don't know what God wants? Reading the Bible is important. Of course it is. Because we understand what God has for us, what God wants, the passions that he has, and where we should be. And praying is not an opportunity to bring a shopping list. It's an opportunity for a relationship to start, where we will talk with our Father and our Lord. Doing. If you pray, if you read the Bible, if you find out what it says and do nothing about it, what is the point? Reading the Bible is effectively useless if you don't do what it says. James 1:22 puts it like this, do not merely listen to the words and therefore deceive yourself. Do what it says. Obedience means doing what Jesus did. One of the big things that Jesus told us to do was go and tell others. Make disciples of all nations. We're not all called to be evangelists, but we are all called to tell people the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. Obedience is love. If you love me, you will do what I command. Love comes out of our obedience to God, and obedience shows love. John 1 John 5 says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, to be obedient to him. And the final thing of obedience is sacrifice. Hang on. I've just spoke 20 minutes about not sacrificing. But I'm not talking about brownie point sacrifices or what can I get out of it sacrifices. I'm talking about a life sacrifice where you will lay down your life for God. A great verse to go home and read and keep reading it every single day, but not as a religion. It's Romans 12:1-3. 1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. Be different to what other people are in this world. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve the will of God, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Is sacrifice good? Is sacrifice proper for God? Yes, it is. But only when it's done out of obedience, not when it's done trying to win his favour. Not when it's done trying to pay him back the enormous debt that that he has already paid. Let's be obedient to what God says. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, in a time that is coming where securities are being ripped away, where change is coming, where uncertainty is coming, let us not look at the news, but look at your word. Let us not look at the fear that's around us, but the hope we have in you. Let us be obedient to what you have called us to and not be fearful about where we're placed. Our security is in you. Our hope is in you. Our life is in you. And nothing of this world should faze us because we are not of this world. We have a place that you are preparing for us that is far better. It is far more amazing. Help us trust in you and obey what you teach us. Amen.